Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, May the 10th, and welcome to our commentary. You know, once upon a time, you would hear people say that the single biggest purchase that a family would make would be their home. Well, that's probably still true. And then the second biggest purchase was their automobile. It's probably still true. But I got to tell you, rising up on that list of expensive things and costly things has to be the price of gasoline. I told you yesterday in yesterday's commentary that I spend $4.20 a gallon. Well, I didn't have to put gasoline today, but I was driving down Marsh Lane, which is a famous avenue here in the Dallas area, if you're familiar with the area. And, you know, I think I go by about 6 or 7 gas stations. And the price is now like $4.44, $4.44, $4.44.9. You know, they use that little trick of adding the 9 there at the end. But I don't care how you set it up. I don't care how you explain it. The price of gasoline is a major factor in the United States. And according to a story on NBC, it's going to go up a lot more. It's going to go up a lot more this summer. Now, it always goes up in the summertime anyway, but it's going to go up this year because we're starting at a much higher base. I mean, when you go from $1.75 to $2, I guess you don't feel that as much as when you go from $3 to $3.89 to $4.20. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I have a post about this today over at the American Thinker. You can read it at the American Thinker, or you can read it on the same page that you follow my videos or my commentaries. And I quote a lady that I heard on television. There's a lady on television. She was being interviewed, one of these people on the street type interviews. And this lady was saying, look, I don't have enough gasoline, enough money to fill up my tank and buy food for my family. You know, once upon a time, that may have been an exaggeration, but that's becoming more and more true for more and more Americans these days. And the political impact of all of this cannot be exaggerated. And you can see that, of course, in the polling data for President Biden. Now, President Biden did go on TV today to talk about inflation. And, you know, he didn't really have much to say because, frankly, there's not much he can say. Many of the biggest factor driving the inflation is the price of gasoline. And as much as they want to blame Ukraine for this, Ukraine is a factor. I'm not going to deny it. But the situation was set in place, really, in the first year of the Biden administration with a bunch of executive orders that limited production and all of that. So now we're paying the consequences of that particular policy. So the president went on TV today and engaged in absolutely mindless rhetoric. First of all, he says, well, you know, we got to raise taxes on the rich because the rich are not paying their fair share. Not exactly sure what that means, but assuming you could change the tax code. And I'm certainly not a 100% fan of the tax code. If it was up to me, we would have more of a flat tax than the kind of tax system that we have now. In other words, I would just have a flat tax. Everybody pays so much, period. And that's the end of the tax code. But that's for another day. But right now, it is the tax code that we have. And even if you were able to get Congress to agree to a tax code, and they're not going to in an election year, it would probably be next year or the year after when any of this would be effective, meaning it would have absolutely zero impact on inflation today. Now, by the way, I don't think raising taxes on the rich has any impact on inflation, but even if you could raise those taxes, it wouldn't have any impact for at least a couple of years. Now, the other popular slogan is, well, we got to tax those corporations who are not paying their fair share, whatever that means. There again, you run into a legislative reality. All of those corporations are paying taxes based on laws that were written by either state legislatures or by federal legislatures. So even if you could, even if you could change them, assume, and they're not going to again for what I just stated a minute ago, we're in a midterm election and raising taxes is not going to work in a midterm election, not even going to be talked about. So again, going after taxes on the rich and taxes on corporations, those are purely, that's just demagoguery. That's all that is. On the part of a president who should know better. I mean, he's been in Washington for 50 years. He should know better than to say, to say stuff like that. So inflation is here to stay, unfortunately. And we went through this back in 1982, those of us who remember 1982, and I'm sure you remember how we got out of that recession or that inflation. We got out through a recession. And I'm afraid the same thing is going to happen this time. These inflation figures are going to continue to go up. The price of gasoline is going to continue to go up. And, you know, at some point, as they like to say, the stuff is going to hit the fan. The stuff is going to hit the fan because you cannot pay these gasoline prices. I mean, if you're going to pay these, something has to give. If you're now going to spend $50 to fill up your small car, well, that's money that's got to come from somewhere else in your budget. It's that simple. I mean, you have a limited budget. You have a fixed budget. Most people, you know, even if you make commissions or your salary increases from time to time, most people have a budget. And if you're paying $5 for gasoline or $4 for gasoline, that's coming from another part of your budget. So something has to be cut back. And you're already hearing from many Americans that they're going to have to cut back their vacations. They're going to have to figure out some other way of going on vacation. So this is where we are. This is where we are right now in the country. We have a president who doesn't have a clue of what he's talking about. And he goes on TV today and he's talking about raising taxes on the rich or somehow, you know, going after corporations who don't pay their fair share, whatever that means. I have no idea what that means because these corporations, the taxes they are paying are completely legal. I mean, their accountants look at the tax laws and say, this is what you can do, this is not what you can do. So, I mean, the idea that you have corporations cheating on purpose, some do, of course. I mean, that's life. But the reality is that most corporations are paying the taxes that they're supposed to pay based on the laws that were passed, in many cases, by Democrats who are now complaining about those laws. But it's not a solution. Raising taxes on the rich or targeting corporations, that's just pure demagoguery. That's all that is. Total, complete demagoguery by a president who frankly doesn't have a clue. Now, I have a post about what we saw this weekend. I have a post coming up tomorrow. But what we saw this weekend, you know, when we saw churches being attacked and we saw some pretty stupid things out there being done in the name of abortion. But the list of stupid things being done in the name of supporting Roe now has another candidate for stupidity, and that's the mayor of Chicago, who is now saying publicly that we must have a call to arms to make to fight back against you know, what she calls this attack on women and so on. So she's now saying basically, you know, Chicago is going to become a center for reproductive freedom. Chicago is going to become a center for reproductive freedom. Now look, I am not going to complain about that because I believe that the citizens of Chicago should do whatever they want to do. Okay, that's the whole argument against Roe v. Wade. I mean, Roe v. Wade was a national standard, and we should have 50 states making these decisions, not a national standard. So if the people of Chicago want Chicago to become a champion of abortion or whatever, that's their call. Let them do whatever they want. But I don't think that that's going to take care of any of Chicago's problems, because as you probably know, the city is falling apart and the murder rate in Chicago is pathetic. I mean, every weekend, you know, there's a dozen people shot, a dozen people killed. So, you know, it's absolutely meaningless for the mayor of Chicago to talk about reproductive freedom when her city is falling apart because of the crime that happens every weekend. But that's the kind of rhetoric you're going to hear now from some of these liberal mayors. They're going to say, oh, you know, we're going to turn San Francisco, LA, or California, or whatever, into centers of reproductive freedom. Look, be my guest. Be my guest. That's your call. You decide whatever you want to decide. I mean, that's the whole point of federalism. But while you're focusing on abortion, I hope that the city of Chicago focuses a little bit on the number of people who are being killed every week in that city because of gang wars and murder rates. And that apparently is not what the city is worried about. They're worried about, you know, Roe v. Wade. So I don't know how anybody in that city can vote for that mayor. But again, it's your call. You decide that if you live in that city. One quick note, you know, the Department of Justice is not doing anything about these protesters in the homes of before the homes of, or in front of the homes of Supreme Court justices, and they need to do something about it. I mean, we should not have a spectacle where Supreme Court justices have people in front of their homes screaming like this. That's not what this country is all about. Protest is fine. You can go down to the park and protest all you want, but we should not be tolerating protests like this in front of their homes and putting potentially their families in jeopardy because their families have to go in and out of the house. I mean, many of these people have families who go out to work or whatever, and to have that kind of exposure to a mob is not what this country is about. You want to protest, go down to the park, go protest all you want. You know, you have the freedom to protest, but I don't think it should be done in front of the homes of politicians or in front of the homes of Supreme Court justices. I just don't think that's a good idea, and something bad's going to happen, I fear. Something bad is going to happen when we tolerate that kind of protest. Again, this is not really protest. You can go down to the park and protest all you want. But of course, they don't get publicity when they go down to the park. They get publicity, which is what they're seeking, when they do it in front of a Supreme Court justice's home. But we shouldn't tolerate that. We shouldn't tolerate that in this country. Well, one more note here from on this day in history as we say goodbye to our commentary. Fred Astaire was born on this day in 1899. He passed away in 1987, and of course, Fred Astaire was the great dancer of that generation. I'm sure you've seen some of his movies. I don't know how the guy can dance that quickly. I mean, he was like made of rubber the way he would move his legs, but the guy was an amazing dancer. I could never obviously dance like that, but I did admire him and how he danced, and I thought it was absolutely incredible how good he was. So we remember Fred Astaire on this day in 1899. One quick trivia question. His sister was also a dancer, and we'll talk about her some other time, but his sister was also a dancer, but she gave up her career when she got married to somebody of British nobility back in the 1930s or whatever. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.